We'll be in the book of Matthew this morning, chapter 28, and as the children's head to children's church, and that. So if you can find your place there in the Bible, if you don't have a Bible, we have pew Bibles there in the pew in front of you. You're welcome to take one of those and use those. And if you need a Bible, you're feel free to take that as a gift from our church family to you. Everybody should have a Bible. Amen. And that should take it, not only have one, you should take it and use it wherever you go. Read it, and you'll find out there's a lot of good stuff in there from Genesis to Revelation. But today, we want to focus on the resurrected Christ, our resurrected Savior. I want to share a few things with you today in the message on the importance of the resurrection. You know, there's a lot of things that are important in the Bible. The Bible tells us all about creation. Tells us how God created man, how God created woman, how God created the family, how God created government, how God put all things in place. It tells us about prophecy, tells us where we're at in the church age, tells us what's coming in the future, and that we can also look back on our history and see what's there, but we also look forward and prophetically and see what is coming. And the next thing on God's calendar, my friend, is the rapture. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming soon and very soon. The Bible's very clear that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4. And so the rapture, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, should be our prayer. And so when you think about it today, the importance of the resurrection, we could take the text today from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I chose Matthew today. But feel free in your reading that you can go over to the book of Mark and Luke and John and also read about the resurrected Christ. So here's what the Bible says regarding the resurrection. And it says here in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and then sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen as he said, and come see the place where the Lord lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Says then verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. Interesting contrast, isn't it? They depart with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, and go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And now where are they going? Behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, and saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Notice this now in verse 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So here recorded in Matthew 28, as is recorded over in the Gospel of Mark and Luke and John, is the story of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a busy week that he had all that week. As I said, as he made that grand entrance into Jerusalem, as he went through day by day all the events that unfolded during that week, as he met with the apostles in the upper room and instituted the Lord's Supper and had that last meal with the apostles as they gathered there. What a precious time that was. And then only to see Judas Iscariot betray him. As he went around, he said, "One of you will betray me." And they went around the room, "Lord, is it I?" And "Lord, is I?" And Judas was exposed at that time as being the one that had betrayed the Lord. So he went through all that, goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. As he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, it's interesting, he goes there, the Bible says, and prayed before. He knew what was coming. Christ knew Calvary was coming. Christ knew. Jesus Christ. We have one God and three persons. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we only have one God. And that Godhead, the Lord Jesus, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. And God is also the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how can that be? One God, three persons. He has three offices that he functions in. And so we find here as they come, and he goes into that Garden of Gethsemane and prays because the Bible says that Jesus is God in the flesh, and he also is human, born of a woman. And so having humanity and having deity in him, he knew what was coming from a human standpoint, and the weight was overbearing. The burden was extremely heavy. He knew what the cross literally was going to mean. He knew that he would be forsaken. He knew that he would be spit upon. He knew that he would be scourged and a crown of thorns would be put on his head. He knew that they would cuss and swear and say all kinds of manner of things against him at that time. He knew what was coming. And remember in the Garden of Gethsemane he prayed, he said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." And you know, I find it interesting because God demanded a blood atonement. God demanded and required a blood sacrifice. There was no other way for mankind to be reunited with a holy God than to have a blood atonement in the middle that bridged the gap between lost mankind, lost humanity, and a holy and righteous God. It demanded a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew what was coming. He knew the weight of the world. He knew the sin that weighed on his shoulders. He knew what was getting ready to happen. And as he prayed in that Garden of Gethsemane, "God, if it's possible." But he chose to go on to be obedient to Calvary. They come. They arrested him. Judas betrayed him. The Bible says for 30 pieces of silver betrayed him. And then the Bible says once he realized what he had done, went out and hung himself, gave and sacrificed for 30 pieces of silver, sold out to the Savior. And then literally once he realized what he'd done, then had went out and hung himself. So we know that he was obedient even under the cross, never a word spoken. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels. He could have stopped it at any moment. He could have stopped the suffering. He could have stopped the pain. He could have put it all to a halt, but he didn't. He sat there. And you know what he said? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I think, my oh my. You know, you look at that, he had there hung on that cross between two thieves. And so as he hung there, the one turned to him and said, "Remember me when... remember me when thou enter into the kingdom." He said, today, because he knew they were going to die soon. "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Today, he put his faith and belief and trust in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you look at the resurrection of Christ, it's so interesting to see that, you know, it's interesting. Even the Apostle Paul, when he stood before in Rome and he stood before King Agrippa and gave a defense of his life when he was arrested, what did he do? He took and shared his testimony of how he got saved, how on the Damascus Road he was struck down, blinded and lost his sight. And if anybody tried to ruin Christianity and tried to hinder the cross and tried to hinder the work of the Lord, it was the Apostle Paul. And God said, you know, chose down and said, "Paul, you're a chosen vessel unto me." Struck him down on the Damascus Road, blinded him, and we find that he came to the Savior and was born again, saved by the grace of God. And that man then set on fire throughout Asia Minor, a work like we've never seen done before. Preaching the gospel of Christ. We know that even looking at Saul's life before, he was there at the stoning of Stephen and watched that as an unsaved man, as Saul the persecutor. But now he's Paul, the faithful servant, loyal, faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a follower. And you know, today, you and I got to make a decision today. You got to decide if you're going to be a follower of this world and a follower of the ways of a non-believing world, or you're going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a choice. We all have a choice. And we all have to come to that decision at some point. The Bible talks about being born again. Which Nicodemus couldn't understand. He said, well, how can I be born again? How can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? He said, no, unless you're born of the water and born of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus simply said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to get to heaven, you got to go through the doorway of the cross. If you want to get to heaven and have eternal life, you got to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way there, my friend. It's not the church. The church will not save you. It's not being a good person will save you. It's not giving any amount of money will save you. It's not being religious or whatever it is. There's only one way. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, that I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way home is through the cross. The way home is by belief. Jesus simply said that if thou shalt, Paul wrote in Romans, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It takes confession. It takes repentance of our sin. It takes recognizing that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible is very simple that the wages of sin is death. But I love this part of it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has a gift for everyone that will accept it. It's not pushed on you. It's not shoved on you. It's not, you don't have to accept it. You have a free will that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you got to do is accept that gift. That gift, God is reaching out to you on this Easter Sunday and saying, I have a gift for you, my friend. And that gift is my son on the cross of Calvary. He hung there literally and gave his very life and died on that cross, was buried in that sepulcher, and 3 days later arose victoriously from the grave. And I have a gift for you, and that gift is salvation to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You say, well, what is this resurrection all about? I'm glad you asked. Let me show you in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at it. Let me show you something here. When you think about the resurrection, because Jesus was resurrected, he's the first fruits of the resurrection. See, not everybody believes in a bodily, physical resurrection, but 1 Corinthians 15 points it out very clearly what it is. You say, well, how's that possible? Well, it's not possible for you and I. It's a miracle, really. It's a miracle that God took his son and put him in that sepulcher, and 3 days later, the Bible says that God, he raised him from the dead. That's literally what the resurrection means. It means to be raised to life. And you know what's interesting? You say, well, maybe he didn't really die. Maybe he was laying in the coolness of that tomb, and he really wasn't dead. No, the Bible says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, the Bible says he gave up the ghost. That means you died. He took his last breath and gave up the ghost. You know what that next verse says after that? The next verse says immediately after that, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Right there at that very moment when the Bible says he gave up the ghost, the Bible says the veil was rent in two from top to bottom. It opened up, and the Bible then says that then mankind, you and I, now have access to the Father and our salvation today. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a pastor. You don't have to go through anybody else. Jesus is our great high priest. And so in the Old Testament, they had the high priest. In the Old Testament, they worshipped under the Levitical laws, a little bit different. But today, when the veil was rent in two and he gave up the ghost, he died on the cross. The Bible says immediately that next verse, the veil then was rent in twain between top to bottom. Opening up, making it possible for you and I to go directly to the throne of grace. And so let's look at this resurrection here. It's interesting because many today, you may be sitting there and you might be saying you have questions, you know, is it really real? Is the resurrection really real? I mean, how truthful is this? It's a great day to worship. It's a great day to sing these songs and these praises. And Brother Ron, the praise team, did a great job. But is the resurrection very real? Well, they had questions about it in the first century. Look what happens here in 1 Corinthians 15. And this, I titled the message today, The Importance of the Resurrection. Here in the Bible will tell us how important this resurrection is. Here it is in verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So without the resurrection, you have no faith. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. So in verse 15, he says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he, God, raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised in the resurrection, your faith is vain and you are yet in your sins. I don't know about you, but that verse is very important of knowing that because of the resurrection, you and I can have forgiveness of our sin and our sin debt can be cleansed and made whole. Without the resurrection, we're still in our sin. Without the resurrection, you have no forgiveness of your sin. So he goes on to say, if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. But in verse 18, but they also which are fallen asleep then would in Christ would be those that have died, those that have gone on before. If Christ be not raised, if there's no resurrection, then those that have gone before us have perished. But all the resurrection is real. If in this life only, he says, we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. Notice how he gives us kind of the order here of the resurrection. Kind of gives us a little bit of meat on the bone of how this all comes to play and how important this resurrection is. He said now in verse 20, if Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits, there it is. He's the first one, that was resurrected of them that died or them that slept. And notice here in verse 21, for since by man, that man there would refer to Adam, since by man came death, then by man, that's Christ, also came the resurrection. The world finds himself in a sinful condition because of the disobedience of Adam that fell upon, and Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 makes that abundantly clear that because of Adam, sin, the sin debt passed on all the human race. As I've often said, my wife and I, we have had two boys and a girl. We didn't have to teach them how to be bad. They're born that way. We spent a lifetime trying to teach them how to be good. Amen? Why is that so? Because we all inherited a sin nature. We all inherited that corrupt, sinful nature. Not one. You say, well, not my son or not my daughter, not my grandchild. Well, you got to take the blinders off, my friend. Don't want to step on your feelings or hurt your feelings or whatever, but we're all sinners by nature, by birth, and by our choices that we make. We have all sinned and fallen short. So here he makes it abundantly clear that by one man, Adam, simply says here, that came death. And then he says in verse 22, as in Adam, then all die. This Saturday we'll gather to celebrate the life of Ina C. It's always hard to lose a loved one and a good friend. And that all happens because of Adam, the sin that passed on the human race. Even so in Christ then shall all be made alive. And the music today was all about Christ and alive and putting our faith in his coming. But then cometh the end, and when he shall be delivered up the kingdom to God, and even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. I love this next verse. Verse 26 in your Bible. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And that comes through the power of the cross. That comes because of a resurrected Christ, that he conquered death, hell, and the grave because of the resurrection. You say, well, what's the method of the resurrection? We'll look at it in verse 35. Some men will say, well, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? And thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain of chance of wheat or some other grain. God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. Do you notice this in the Bible? The scripture is pretty clear. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, but is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. And here it is, verse 44, it is sown a natural body, you're given a natural body. But in the resurrection now, in verse 44, you're raised in a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, here, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural comes first, and then afterward that which is spiritual. So think about that. You have flesh and blood flowing through you today. You have a natural. You're sitting there today in a natural body. But in the resurrection, you're raised a spiritual body. No flesh and blood. you'll be recognizable. Jesus went on, was recognizable in resurrection form. But you're raised a spiritual body, fashioned like in the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and then afterward that which is spiritual. The first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthy. The second man, Christ, is of the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this, Paul says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So the Bible makes a very distinction, clear distinction here. To go to heaven, you got to believe in the resurrected Christ. To go to heaven, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What is this thing about being saved? What are you saved from? Well, the Bible is very clear. Eternal damnation, eternal forever without God. That's the worst thing about eternity is hell. The Bible teaches a heaven and the Bible teaches a hell. You say, well, it's so simple. God breaks it down. If you believe in Jesus Christ, believe in the resurrected Christ, and believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, and confess that and realize that in your heart, you can have eternal life. The Bible's clearly taught, and we went over it in Sunday school today, a resurrection of the just, those that believe, and a resurrection of those that do not believe. There's two resurrections, a resurrection to the judgment seat of Christ, a resurrection to the great white throne of judgment. All of the human race will be resurrected and stand before God. Nobody escapes the judgment of God. None. It just depends on the choice you make here of where you're going to spend eternity and what you're going to do with this resurrected Savior that he gives. And notice here, simply says, Paul said in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15, all believers will not die. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And then the final victory over death. Here it is, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The way to heaven is through the cross. The way to heaven is through believing in the resurrected Savior. The way to eternal life, and you say, well, I don't know if I'm ready to make that decision yet. Well, my friend, I wouldn't wait too long, because time is running out and we're never assured of tomorrow. And no matter what happens, death comes to us all. I'd like to say, I told the Sunday school class today, if I had my choice, I would choose the rapture and go on up to be with the Lord rather than go through the doorway of death. And I believe the rapture is going to be a lot better than any ride Cedar Point's got. So I'd love to have the rapture. In a moment, the Bible says, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and we shall be changed. This natural body that he talks about will be changed into a spiritual body in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and go to be with the Lord. What is so great about heaven? It's the presence of God, and it's God's home and God's dwelling. And think about this. You say, what is so special about heaven? Do you ever think about this? What are you going to take? What are you going to take with you? The only thing you're going to take is your family or your friends or those that are closest and mean the most to you. I've done hundreds and hundreds of funerals over the years. I've never once seen anybody pulling a U-Haul or tying anything to the casket. I did see a guy one time throwing money in somebody's casket to say, you know, casket's open, throwing a bunch of money in there in case you need that. Well, you're not going to need it. Because the only thing you're going to take to heaven, my friend, is those that are saved. Your family is the most important thing to you. Your family and your friends. Do you know him? Are you saved? You know, the homes, they stay. The money, it stays. The cars, they stay. Your career, it stays. Everything you have on this physical side of heaven stays. The only thing you're going to heaven is you, your soul, and your change from a natural body to a spiritual body. Same thing. You say, what's so good about heaven? But what's so bad about a place called hell? You know what's the worst thing about hell, I believe, in the Bible? is the absence of a holy God, is the absence of His love, is to be separated from your family and your friends and from those around you to spend eternity. The Bible talks about eternity in a place called hell. The choice is real simple, heaven or hell. And it's all based on the resurrected Savior on that cross. He victoriously conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave for you and me to have eternal life. It's as simple as Romans 6 verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has a gift for you today. Because all you got to do is accept it. And so my question today, my friend, whether by way of live stream or listening today, we serve today a risen Savior. And He wants to save your lost soul. And if you're here by way of live stream or in the sanctuary today and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, or you know for clearly you've not yet accepted Him, you can do that right now, right this moment, on this Easter Sunday, April 9th, 2023, you can be saved. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, right where you sit today, I want to walk you through a prayer that you can pray and mean it in your heart, saying to God and God only, you don't pray to me, you pray to the Heavenly Father, that today you desire to be saved. Today you desire to be born again. Today you desire to have eternal life and come to the Savior. Just pray this in your heart to the Heavenly Father right where you sit and sincerely mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I am a sinner. And I recognize today that I cannot get to heaven on my own. God, today I confess my sin. And I repent of my sin. And I accept Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, as my Lord and as the promise of eternal life. And God, with my mouth today, I'm making confession to you for the promise and hope of eternal life to save my lost soul. Right now, right this moment, I desire to be born again. I accept you. In Jesus' name I pray. If you look up here today, my friend, if you were sincere and you meant that and prayed that in your heart today, I'd encourage you to let somebody know, maybe the person that brought you to church today, or let your neighbor know. I'd be glad to pray with you here at the front if you're sincere about your decision today, or we can help you today. Or by way of live stream, reach out to us today. But today, Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless and perfect life, obedient to the cross of Calvary, willingly laid down His very life, sacrificially gave Himself on that cross for you and I. Oh, what a price He paid and the joy of salvation. And it's as simple as believing and trusting in God for eternal life. Oh, what a great resurrected Savior. And He is alive. He is well. He's not dead. He is the risen Lord. Let's stand together today. If you want to come to pray, if I can pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you. You want to come pray on your own, you're welcome. We always open the altar and an invitation call today. Encourage you to come. If you're interested in the church and church membership, we'd be glad to talk with you about that. But if you pray to receive Christ as your Savior today, please let somebody know. And we'd be glad to pray with you and help in any way that we can. And if the Holy Spirit leads, you follow the Holy Spirit's direction as Brother Ron leads us in invitation today. If we can pray with you, come, my friend. The altar's open. You're welcome to come on this Easter Sunday. Make a decision. I have decided. How about you? Have you decided to follow Christ? be seated just for a moment, if you would. And God is good. We have a young man coming here. His name is Robert today. And he comes, he says, today's the day. Today's the day that I want to ask God to forgive me of my sin and ask Jesus Christ into my heart. Today's the day I want to get saved. And so praise the Lord. Give him a hand down here, will you? So praise the Lord. So we're praying for him, and Brad's getting some information from him and that. But maybe you out there today, you're still struggling with that. I encourage you to make that decision. Don't play around with it. It's very much real, and eternity is long, and life is never guaranteed. We don't know how much longer you're going to live. And you know, death is going to come to us all. And the main thing, a lot of people like to live life. I think you ought to live life and enjoy life to the fullest in that area there. But prepare for eternity along the way, because eternity is real. And there is an end date at some point. We just don't know when that is. We just don't know when our end date is. And I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't know. Amen? I mean, would you like to know the day you're going? No. So God has it reserved. Robert, we're excited for you, brother. And glad you came and made that decision today and to follow the Lord and to be saved. And so that's great. And today, let me share with you, I don't know if Rachel Lynn McDonald, is she in the building? Come on down, girl. And that she's headed this way while she's coming. We do have an Easter egg hunt. She's going to give us a few details on that as we close the service today. Being Easter Sunday, there is no service tonight, no Awana tonight. There's a handout in your bulletin, and that on the ladies' retreat. Make sure you get that on June the 8th to the 11th. There's a table out here. Set up, and if you will, go by. I don't know if somebody will be out there, but you can sign up, see Roslyn or see Tammy. They'll be glad to help you with that, and they're trying to get people, ladies, signed up for the ladies' retreat. Bethel Work Week is going to be May the 8th to the 12th. If you want to go to camp and help us this year, that'd be great. We're going to be doing some work up there. You can go one day or all week. We're going to be there May the 8th to the Monday through Friday. And just let me know, and that will, right now I think we got 10 to 12 people, something like that, headed up to the camp and do some work there. April the 20th to the 22nd, the ladies are doing a crafting weekend. If you have any questions, see Julie Barrett on that or Roslyn, one of the ladies. They have a fun time, and they set up, and it's a three-day process, I believe, right? So, yeah. The Awana fundraiser, Joe and Sue. They're doing what's called an Awana fundraiser for the end of the year for the Awana ministry. And they've asked the congregation to bake things. And we're not doing a bake sale per se, but what they're doing, they're baking things. That'll all next Sunday will be out in the gym on display. And we're taking donations for those. So any of the money, you go by and look at it. You know, I appreciate my sister-in-law, Vola. She always ate her dessert first before her meal anytime I was around her. And we're related, so maybe it's a good thing in life. Eat your dessert first, huh? I don't know. And but they're going to have cookies and desserts, all kinds of things. And if you want to help the Awana store, the end of the year Awana ministry this year, that would be great. Deacons meeting is not Monday night this week, but the following Monday on April the 17th. And then if you want to get in on, we have a men's golf outing on May the 20th, the 22nd. There's a handout sheet on that. You can probably still get in. On that if you're interested in golfing. And they do have a Red Cross blood drive there, so on May the 11th. Rachel, it's all yours, girl. And tell them what's going on. This is regarding the Easter egg hunt, I think, out back, right?
Yes. So today, if your kids are between 0 and 12 years old-ish, or if they think they're close to 12, we have an Easter egg hunt. If you pick up your kids from nursery. Some of you have the older kids in the auditorium. The ones that went to children's church are currently in the gym. Pick them up. You'll see a table booth where Joe and Sue, our Awana commander, is, and he's signing in people. Even if you haven't registered, please stay. We will divide up into three groups. We'll have further instructions outside. And for the rest of you who don't have kids, there's cookies and coffee outside if you come watch the kids. So come and join us, everyone.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Let's stand together. Good to see you. Good to be in the Lord's house on Resurrection Sunday. Brother Brad, could you go with Robert? And Robert, if you mind, just go with Brad. He's going to just stand back there so people can come by and congratulate you on your decision for Christ. today. And I appreciate Robert making that decision. You let him know that you're praying for him. And as a new believer in Christ, that's all important. He get off to a good start and serving the Lord. And so he'll be back there with Brad by the doors. You can greet him. So great to see you in church today. Happy Resurrection Sunday. I trust you have a great time with your family. And as we said, there's no Awana tonight, no service tonight. But if you just stand, turn and greet your neighbor and say, great to see you in church today, you're dismissed, okay?
Going golfing today.
Yeah, we are.
Well, it's just